servants of Christ Church. We travel 11 months a year to 4.5 of the continents and teach on an average of about 1,500 active duty servants of the Lord in training centers, 300 next generation ones. My spiritual biography, I thought we're at halftime, by the way. This is a fourth, and I have five more times I'm going to speak. And many of you I never get to personally talk to. So my biography or pedigree was I was saved at age 6, called to the ministry of the gospel at age 9. In preparation for that, read through the scriptures 100 times so I could teach it. I did my undergrad work at Michigan State, my bachelor's and master's and PhD work at Bob Jones University, my THM work at the Master's Seminary, and my Doctor of Ministry work at Dallas Seminary. Went from all that, like many of you, I have enough degrees to have a temperature, and I went to pastor local churches. I've been married to Bonnie for 35 wonderful years, and I have a deep regret, and that is that I didn't meet her sooner, because she has had the most profound, next to the Lord, sanctifying influence on my life. Together we raised 8 children. When you have children, as all of you know, you realize very soon that you're imperfect, they're imperfect, that you're an imperfect husband, you were married to an imperfect wife, and God gave you a whole bunch of imperfect children that you imperfectly raised for Him. The good news is that the Bible says that God will never, and I will never, and you will never answer for how your children turned out. You only answer for how you raised them. You see, God doesn't expect perfection. He just longs for our obedience. We serve in 70-plus countries. One thing we do that's fascinating is we do a continuing education ministry for those who are in ministry. I have about 1,900 classes that are 1,800 or so that are hosted by a Buddhist facility called Google. And, you know, all those people in Silicon Valley are Zen this and that. But they offer free of charge through YouTube subscriptions for students. And we have, you can see up there about, it's too small on my screen, but about 85,000 or 83,000 students, subscribers. And they're in 120 countries. And I just basically teach courses in how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to memorize the Bible, how to pray, how to interpret the Bible, and then go through every, you know, major doctrine, and they do that. And I think what's interesting, one of them is Q&As. You notice the top five are all Q&As, which we're going to do tonight. And I'm amazed that, you know, that N1, that a million people want to watch. Why did God create the tree of good and evil if He knew? And the rest of the question is, man and woman were going to fall into sin. Why did He put it there if He knew it? And the up-and-coming one, I think, is fascinating. That fourth one over, God says there's 7 events coming. And we just posted that at Christmas, and it's got 600,000 people that have watched it. It's because people are seeing something's happening rapidly. I mean, our global warming has turned into a polar vortex, which is going to go back into an even greater global warming. And the Middle East has never been so volatile as now, and everything else seems to be falling apart. The question-answer framework, and by the way, we put most of that training thing on a flash drive, and one of you from northern, largest country in the world, you know, capital Beijing, came to me on my first day and said, the flash drive you gave out to us 2 years ago, I lost. And I said, I'm sorry, I'll mail you one, but I went through my suitcase and I found it. So whoever you are, do you remember? There you are right back there. I'd throw it to you, but come up to me afterward because I can't throw that far. And I have one, praise the Lord. But we do offer that, especially for those in remote areas that can't stream. It's 128 gig, 4K, high resolution, so that you can see it on any device and also use it in other means. But the framework for my question answer, and I just unashamedly say, I can't believe that people watch this because I have a very conservative framework, and that is evangelical, that a person must be saved. In other words, you don't get saved by association. Just like a car in a garage doesn't make you a car if you go in a garage, so going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again. So I'm evangelical. That's what that word means. You believe in the gospel. I'm an inerrantist, which means the scriptures are inspired. The reason I believe the scriptures are inspired, and the problem that most people that don't believe that have, is that Jesus affirmed the scripture. Jesus affirmed the historicity of Adam, Eve, Noah, the flood, Jonah, being swallowed by a large aquatic creature, and every other scoffed at part of the Bible by most mainline American denominations. Jesus believed the scriptures were inspired. It's a real problem. Then you wonder, what are those denominations following if they don't even believe what Jesus believed? So, but I don't want to be, petty about it, but it is major. I'm also a cessationist only in this sense that there's no longer any scripture being inspired. Be careful if someone says, God told me. I mean, when they say that to you, say, wait a minute. Now, is what you're saying equal with this is the voice of God that he left for us? Is what you're telling me you just heard on the same level? Rarely will anyone do that. They go, oh, no, but the Lord laid on my heart. I say, oh, he laid on my heart too. Don't tell me God told me, because God only speaks the truth. And if you tell me what God told you, God only speaks the truth. You're a conduit of scripture? Oh, no, I'm not. I say, okay, let's be real cautious here. Because there's a movement afoot where people claim that. They claim that they have revelations from God. The scriptures, as we're in Revelation, says, God says, don't add to my word. So we should be careful. So I'm a cessationist in that sense that God is not, he does not have apostles writing scripture or prophets like in the Old Testament. An imputationist, only Christ saves. Christ alone, not a church, not an experience, not an administered sacrament, not doing something to someone, only Christ saves. It must be his imputed righteousness. I'm a creationist, and only for this reason. By the way, my early work before the Lord got a hold of my heart was I was involved in data transmission on lasers and had a scholarship to MIT to do that. I was totally into science. And what is fascinating to me is that the longer scientists work, the more they are corroborating and getting in line with everything the Bible says scientifically. Now, there's only one part of this book I'm holding that God actually wrote with his own hand, right? All of you know it, because you all have memorized it. And it's called the Ten Commandments. Remember the finger of God in a stone tablet that Moses brought to him. Did you know that God, in Exodus 20, said to the Jews who were slaves in Egypt, he said, for as I created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, you should work for 6 days and rest the seventh. I've heard endlessly people say, well, the creation account is kind of like a, and they're trying to say that it's a nice thing, but it must be billions and billions and billions of years, and a day means a million or a billion years or an eon or an epoch or an age or an indiscernible period of time. But it didn't happen to mean that to God. And when God talked directly to 3 million people from Mount Sinai to his chosen people of promise that he made a covenant with, he said, just like you've had to make bricks 6 days a week for the Egyptians, 6 solar days, I made the entire universe. I didn't remake it. I didn't build it on top of a pile of death and destruction. I made everything from nothing in 6 solar days. Now, that's what God believed. It doesn't mean that you have to believe it, but I believe it because God said it. And what's fascinating is I was sitting at the pantry in downtown Los Angeles at 9th and Figueroa reading the Los Angeles Times, that great organ of evangelical thought. And it said, as I sat there at the counter eating, it said, did you know, this was an article, it says, in the studies of the mountains that are right above, you know, San Bernardino and all that, you know, just overlooking Los Angeles Basin, it said that there were glaciers up there about 5,000 years ago. I thought, I know that. I'm glad they just figured it out. Because I'm also a catastrophist. That means that Noah's flood really happened on every inch of this planet. And it covered every mountain. And that's why you find sea life, sea creatures, on the top of every, from the Himalayas to the Andes to everywhere in between. Because the whole earth was overspread with blood. I'm also a maximalist. That's not, the Gladiator movie. But maximalist is that the Bible, if it's inspired, all those wonderful passages that all of you just quoted, you really believe those are true. Now, as W.A. Criswell, the great pastor of the First Baptist Dallas, once said, he said, Jesus made the Bible like a sweater. He affirmed all of it's true, and as soon as you start pulling out little parts of it that you say aren't true, you're unraveling the whole thing, and you can't trust any of it if it's not all true. The Bible affirms some very powerful truths about morality, about history, about the spiritual world, especially the unseen spiritual world. Only God knows about that. And also about history and science. And anytime God speaks on any of those topics, I'm a maximalist. I believe it's true and that we can trust it and it's reliable and sufficient. And finally, you probably heard the term dispensationalist, and I picked that up at one of those schools that I was at. Basically, to understand the Bible is to understand that God has a separate plan for Israel than the church, and the church is not Israel. And that undermines this whole kind of movement about health, wealth, and prosperity, because those promises God gave to Israel about, you do this and I'll give you the land, he didn't actually give those to the church. Israel had a land that he promised to them. So, but that's kind of eighth, because it's not critical.